Shall we just finish off the rest of the kind of thing? If you haven't got a copy.
Yeah, can I have a copy, please? Don't take it away.
Can't go on with it, dishing out these out.
This
paper's
one is
expensive.
All running on. Are you sure?
It's only one paragraph. Oh no, it's more than three paragraphs. Anybody else need one? No. Broadly then, in this world and other worlds, in India and in China, all similarly maintain the Buddha posture and solely indulge in the fundamental custom. We simply devote ourselves to sitting and are caught by the still, still state. It's nice that it's something he often does, turns it around. Zazen catches you rather than you. In this world and other worlds, he often referred to different worlds. Basically, there's the world of thinking, the world of matter, and the world of action, and the world of reality. There's just four that he used to talk about. But he may mean other countries about which he knew very little, I would guess. He knew about India and China because of the sutras, which had all been translated into Chinese from India by a team of translators led by Kumarajiva, very famous early Buddhist. So they were all in Chinese, and Dogen read Chinese, so he would know about India and China. The Buddha posture always refers to sitting in Zazen. Solely indulge in the fundamental custom. He does say, I think in Bendowa, that there are many, many ways to attain the balanced state, but Zazen is the standard way. For him, it was the standard way. I guess he couldn't imagine sports clubs, martial arts and all that. I wouldn't think he would be able to imagine that, but he knew that there were other ways to attain balance, keep your body and mind balanced. We devote ourselves to sitting and Zazen catches us. Although there are myriad distinctions and thousands of differences, we should just pursue the truth through Zen balance. And don't forget, pursue the truth doesn't mean to find out some intellectual understanding which is true. It means to find out what reality is. So to pursue the truth could be picking daffodils. It can be moving logs. At a push, it could even be having a sauna, I guess. So I'll have to check on that. Why should we abandon our own sitting platform to come and go without purpose through the dusty borders of foreign lands? He's referring here to people who would travel to find out. Even in Dogen's time, monks from temples in Japan travelled to China in search of the truth.
But Dogen did that too.
Mm-hmm. Dogen did it himself, yeah. Our own sitting platform in Japanese temples in the Zendo you sit on a platform about that high off the ground with the tatami, soft tatami, well, springy tatami mats on the top. So he's saying it's all here. We don't need to go wandering around in search of it. Yeah, it's interesting because that's in fact what he did. But he found it, so I suppose he's thinking of people who go on and on and on. Like, there are lots of Buddhist tourists, aren't there?
You've got a nice quote from T.S. Eliot at the start of your Nagarjuna translation, which is about that.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Looking everywhere and then finding the answer back where you started.
Yes. Yeah, I love that poem.
It's good, isn't it?
If we misplace one step, we pass over the moment of the present. It's true. But it sounds very severe. Misplace one step. But we do often pass over the moment of the present because we're lost somewhere else. We have already received the essential pivot, which is the human body. Let us not pass time in vain. Essential pivot, this is just an idiom. You know, fans have a pivot at the bottom, and all the fan is attached, all the blades of the fan are attached to this pivot. That's what he's referring, that's what the Chinese refers to, essential pivot. It means it's, you know, without that pivot, everything comes apart. The fan is not a fan unless it has that pivot, little rivet or something. We are maintaining and relying upon the pivotal essence, which is the Buddha's truth. Who could wish idly to enjoy sparks that fly from flint? Sparks and sparklers. Unimportant things that attract our attention. What is more, the body is like a dewdrop on a blade of grass. Life passes like a flash of lightning. Suddenly it is gone. In an instant it is lost. That's true. We try to convince ourselves that life is stable and all will be well. Mm. But life is suddenly gone. I beseech you, noble friends, in learning through experience, do not grow used to images and doubt the real dragon. That's where the title of Nishijima's book came from. It refers to a Chinese story about a famous Buddhist philosopher who studied Buddhism through words, and he lived in this little house, and he was always telling people about the truth is like a dragon. And one day he opened his window and a dragon was standing outside, and according to the story he turned around and ran away. So he told people all about the dragon in words, but when faced with it himself he ran away. The real dragon is our real life itself, beyond good and bad, right and wrong, just as it is. Apply yourself to the path which is directly indicated and straightforward. path is directly indicated and straightforward. Have a look and see if you can find it. Revere people who are beyond study and free of the intention to achieve. Dogen says in a few places in the Shobo Genzo that if you want to attain the truth, or if you want to live a balanced life, then don't pursue fame or profit. It doesn't say that you shouldn't get money or you shouldn't become famous. Don't pursue it. So it's something to do with a strong intention. If you have a strong intention to make a profit or to become famous, that intention itself stops you seeing what's in front of you, because you're always looking for something that's not in front of you yet, but that you want. Revere people who are beyond study and free of the intention to achieve. Accord with the enlightened state of the Buddhas. Enlightened state for Dogen means the state in Zazen, my state and your state. Not Dogen's state, but our own state in Zazen. Be a rightful heir to the balanced state of the ancestors. If you practice the ineffable for a long time, you will be ineffable. The treasure house will open naturally, and you will receive and use it as you like.
What does ineffable mean again? What does ineffable mean again?
Ineffable means it's kind of can't quite describe it.
Right. Okay.
It's kind of I think a word to describe it. Mm. It's like ineffable.
Okay.
It's related to the Buddhist concept emptiness, which refers for Dogen to the situation when we are wholly involved with the world, or the world is wholly involved with us, we cease to discriminate, we cease to think. Our brains don't stop, but we cease to think, name, work out what to do next, all those things, and we're just totally involved. In that state, nothing is defined.
Right.
What's that sutra called? The Heart Sutra says no ears, no eyes, no mouth, no nose, no emotion, no thinking. Not that those things don't exist. You cease to have a nose or eyes, but that because you don't name them, there is only something whole, which is ineffable. And in being ineffable, it's difficult to think about it. And the very last phrase, receive and use it as you like. Dogen often used a positive and a negative word, kanji, together. So to receive is coming in, and use is going out. So in using positive and negative together, he's suggesting a balance between out and in, a state of zero. So that's the end of Fukan Zazen Gyo. So it's all about Azazel. And it's quite difficult to accept that just sitting every day can actually be the most important thing. Our modern society has such a strong set of priorities for each of us. To put Zazen as the ultimate priority of your life is sounds strange and would seem very difficult to do. This is what Dogen did with his life, and it's what I've ended up doing with my life, although I didn't plan to do that necessarily. So the practice which he says is the most important thing, the great task, is described in all its detail in this short essay.
What about the rest of the time when we're not sitting there?
We could study for Kanzazengi. Well, look at what Dogen did. He lived in a temple. What did he do when he wasn't sitting?
Maybe writing, wasn't it?
Writing, maybe.
Telling other people how to sit.
Pardon?
Telling the other people how to sit.
Telling other people how to sit. Going to the toilet.
Eating.
Dealing with the politics of the Zen institutions.
Pardon?
Dealing with the politics.
Dealing with the politics?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah, sure.
Didn't he leave so he wouldn't have to deal with it?
That's what I mean by dealing with it.
Has your zazen changed? Or is it the same as the very first time you ever did it?
The same. However, I suppose through the kind of investigation I've been doing through the years, I've never kind of tried to understand what Dogen's saying, because fortunately I got involved in a project where that's what I was doing. I was editing and helping to translate and so on. So it kind of came to me, which is very fortunate for me. I never thought, oh, I want to understand what it's all about. But I have done. And it's the same as when I first sat, because I realise that Zazen is just sitting on a cushion in a room, facing the wall or facing something in the room or facing outwards, with an empty mind. And that's all it is. But to say that's all it is, it doesn't really capture what it is. Because if you when you sit simply with your body in a nice balanced posture with an empty mind, it's a wonderful feeling. And so every time I sat in Zazen, that's what I've been doing. But my mind has taken many years to slow down. I think that's maybe the main difference for me. It was empty for short periods the first time I sat, but I didn't know, I didn't see those empty times, and so I didn't relax into them, if you like. accept them and be there. So although maybe the first time I sat, it's difficult to describe really. I came to Zazen through climbing, and in climbing I'd already noticed a state of where my mind was not active. No mind sounds a bit spiritual, but my mind was not active, and I liked it because most of the rest of the time in my life my mind was going round and round in little circles winding me up. So to hang off a rock would allow me to be at peace somehow. And when I first practiced Zazen, I noticed the same state. There's a phrase, samadhi, which is much bandied about. And if you look it up on the internet, on Wikipedia, for example, it says samadhi is a meditative absorption or trance obtained by the practice of dhyana, which is Zazen. In the oldest Buddhist sutras, it refers to the development of a luminous mind, which is equanimous and mindful. In Buddhism, it is the last of the eight elements of the Noble Eightfold Path. And it goes on and on and on. And there are many, many people who teach Buddhism who think that sitting in the posture allows you to go into a deep state of meditation. In that deep state of meditation, you absorb wisdom, you become wise. Dogen's teachings are completely different to that. The aim of sitting in Zazen is just to sit in the room. There is no deep meditative state. There is no trance. It's getting out of your trance of daily life and just sitting simply in the room. And what many Buddhist writings describe as the wisdom you get from deep samadhi, Dogen describes as intuitive wisdom before the moment when you start thinking. So the intuition you have before you start thinking about something, which is something you try to develop in martial arts, act without thinking.
I find it easier to do an Aikido than it just happens.
Okay.
But I think that that's maybe what I'm looking for in Zazen, but I find it more difficult to do.
Oh, don't look for it. If you find it in Aikido, then that's very nice. If you notice it in Zazen, it's very nice. Don't look for it. Don't look to try and say, okay, now I've got it in Aikido, now I'm going to get it in Zazen. Now what else shall I do? I'll do something else Japanesey and try and find it there. Don't do that.
I noticed it as well when I was putting the wood chippings down outside.
Yeah.
I suddenly realised, I'm only doing this, and I wasn't thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
Just thinking about putting the wood chippings down. But I think it's rarer that I have that during sitting, that I'm just sitting and nothing else. But maybe, I don't know, maybe I just don't recognise it yet.
Maybe.
Mm.
It's a kind of training to let our minds slow down. And they take a long time to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And different days, different situations. What we were doing last week, what we've been doing with ourselves the last few months, last few years, we sit with.
Maybe doing Zazen makes it more apparent when you're doing something else.
Mm.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yes. Because it predisposes you.
Well, samadhi in Sanskrit can be translated as assembling, putting together. So we're putting all parts of ourselves together, which are normally we pull apart.
That makes a lot of sense, because there's a Punjabi word that sounds very similar to samadhi, and a lot of words in Punjabi link back to Sanskrit.
Yes.
So like Buddha means all, that links back to wisdom. And
okay.
Sambal means to piece together, which is samadhi.
Yes.
So,
but for some reason, over the years, people have translated samadhi to mean this kind of deep meditation, and Zazen is not meditation. It's not deep.
I want to go back to I think a problematic injunction for me, anyway.
Yeah.
In the fourth paragraph, where he says he gives the instruction to stop the driving movement of mind, will, and consciousness. Now, if I try and stop my mind in Zazen, that doesn't work.
Yeah, it's true, yes.
It's more that I just let it sort of do its thing, and it seems that after a kind of a couple of days on a retreat, it sort of slowed down.
Okay.
So it seems to me it's more like allowing it to slow down rather than stopping it. So it just sounds like an effort of the will.
Yeah, I agree. I'd have to look at the Japanese. Similar in with the precepts, the Buddhist precepts, as they're written in English, don't do wrong, instructions. In Japanese, the grammatical form shinai koto means not doing. So it's not an instruction. So actually the precepts in Japanese are not doing wrong, not lying. And that's a very different, subtle difference. And
it might be the same thing.
We could translate this as not thinking of good and bad, not caring about right and wrong, stopping, allowing the driving movement of mind, will and consciousness to stop, ceasing intellectual consideration, blah 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 blah, ceases. So yeah, we can change that from instruction to something more allowing.
Because you're going to think, aren't you? It's just like your body automatically regulates itself. If you think, you just think. But it's your relationship to thinking, and just letting that, just let it be. I guess that's the way I
say it again.
I guess for me, I'm always going to think. My mind does that, but then it's my judgment of my thinking or my relation to it, just letting it just ride itself out, and then it just, Zazen takes care of itself, doesn't it? Like you're saying, like Zazen does you rather than you doing Zazen.
Yes. Dogen didn't talk about the physical side of the posture, but my teacher Nishijima talked about how sitting in that posture allows the autonomic nervous system, the two antagonistic sides, well, there are actually more than two now, they've found, but allows physical balance from the posture. So we can say that the posture itself allows our, or helps our mind to stop or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
But as people who are doing the Shobel Genzo workshop know already, translating these subtle bits is a lot of leeway, really. Yeah, it would be nicer to take out those instructions, wouldn't it?
Mm. To stop them being injunctions.
What's an injunction?
It's giving a command.
Okay. Okay, so cease into UNE Sibekara's. Well, it does actually say in the Japanese, it's in the form of should, with no subject. So I suppose you translators, we should cease the intellectual work of studying. Tsubeshi, yes. So Dogen in the Japanese does write should. So it's a kind of suggestion, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
But we could improve on Dogen there, perhaps, if we make it something more allowing, if that fits with your own experience.
I think also in kind of allowing things to bubble up rather
yeah.
than suppressing it, in a way it can be quite helpful because like a few weeks ago I was sitting and I had all this like unexpectedly all this kind of rage and anger
yeah.
and I was thinking, you know, and when you're sitting you've got very little external stimulus or input
yeah.
and so it's just coming from me.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's then realizing that that's like what the I'm carrying that for some reason.
Yeah.
And why? Because it's not no one's making me angry right now. Like, why is that there? And then it kind of in a way if in allowing it to come up, you can maybe let go of it as well.
Maybe let go of it, or maybe later in the day do something about it,
mm.
or talk to somebody, or have some therapy, or it shows you how you are.
Mm. Yeah.
To get to know the self isn't to get to know a self
which is like
which is the self that you want to be,
mm.
is to get to know the self that you are.
Mm.
Which is why it's quite difficult.
Mm.
It's easier to get to know a self that I can imagine.
Mm.
That
mm.
not so easy to sit with ourselves. It's not easy to sit with ourselves. I find this samadhi, deep samadhi thing, came up with me because one of the guys who comes to our zazen days that I've started having every month is actually the director of a Buddhist group a little bit north of where I live, run by a Buddhist, quite a well-known Buddhist teacher who calls himself Dhammadipa. He's Czech. I've met him. He's a very, very clever guy. He knows the whole of Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks Czech, German, English, Chinese, good Japanese. He's what do you call somebody like that?
Polymath.
Yeah, polymath. He's a polymath. He's a lovely bloke, but his practice, where he's trying to set up a centre, he's gets lots of money coming in because he can talk the talk. His practice is to sit in deep samadhi, and from that deep meditative state, he gets wisdom, and that wisdom is guiding him. The director of his little group, who comes to sit with me, says, "I can't understand what he's saying." But he likes, he's a lawyer, so he likes organising things. So I realised, Dharmadipa's doing something completely different to me. It would seem to be Buddhism. Well, maybe I'm not doing Buddhism then. Because it's certainly utterly different, really.
Is it really different, or are people using different words for what might be the same or quite similar?
I'll leave that up to you to judge.
Well, I do think sometimes we, because reality is ineffable and language is imperfect, we sometimes use words that seem diametrically opposed to try and get at what is fundamentally the same thing. So sometimes you see it in sports and martial arts, meditation as well. Sometimes people say you have to work hard to do something just the right way, and otherwise, other times they tell you just relax and let it happen.
Uh-huh.
And they're kind of both right.
Okay.
Mm.
Does that apply to deep samadhi as against sitting in zazen? Or are you making a general point?
I think it's a general point, but
okay.
I've tried different.
So it's a general point, which I agree with, but in the case of deep samadhi, I think we're doing something different.
Maybe.
We're not speaking about think with different words. We're doing something different. That's how I feel.
Okay.
But your general point, I agree with. Yeah.
That's that for 10 years with a Buddhist group that pursued that sort of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to find levels of dhyana through withdrawal from the senses, basically. Very single-pointed focusing on awareness of the breath. And it works, you get into them. And you do get a very great sense of calm. And then when you stop doing it, it goes away. And it seemed a bit strange, because those sorts of meditations seem to be what's described as what the Buddha did when he was with the ascetics. Because those sorts of meditations are not just Buddhist, they're Hindu meditations as well. So he went with Hindu ascetics, allegedly, and then decided that that wasn't what he was looking for. That's something to think about.
Yeah.
But how do you define deep?
No.
Well, it would appear that deep samadhi means that when you're sitting, you lose awareness of what's around you completely. And you inhabit some space, which is, I don't know what the name of that space is, samadhi, in which exists the teachings of the Buddha, the enlightenment, whatever. I don't know. I never get there.
My yoga teacher describes He describes it as a fusion with the all encompassing.
Mm.
Fusion with the divine consciousness.
Okay.
Is the goal of yoga.
Mm.
That's what she's talking about.
Mm.
That's the Hindu teaching, isn't it, of Brahma?
Of course, yes. Mm. With fusion with Brahma, fusion of the Atman with Brahma.
Okay, well, everybody can do what they want. So you can choose what to do. And, we do have situations where we use the same terminology to describe, different terminology to describe the same thing and think we're disagreeing when in fact what we're talking about is the same. It often happens, yeah. But karate is the same as judo. It's a martial art. It's the same, isn't it? Is it the same? Isn't it the same?
Simpler, isn't it? You just hit someone.
Your experience tells you something. So on that experience you can say, not the same really. Like high jump and long jump. They're both jumping.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in the Olympics. They're both sports. So they may actually essentially be the same.
Sorry,
no, they're not.
You
jump up.
Doing long jump with a high jump pole.
Well, we're talking about activities, aren't you? So the best thing to do is to try them.
Yes, that's the only. Well, that's what Dogen means. He talks about learning and experience.
Mm.
That's what he means. Is do it.
Mm. Find out what it does.
Find out and learn from doing it. Don't learn from reading about it, thinking about it, or even discussing it, really.